Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Almost 9 in 10 Irish teenage girls said that they struggle with anxiety and worry. And this was a survey carried out between the Shona Project and The Outcome. And they carried out this national survey to try and explore the experiences of young women and girls in this country. The survey was carried out between October and December of last year. They collected about 1,035 responses from girls aged between 12 and 19. And the results, when you look at them, paint a fairly complex picture of life as a teenager in Ireland today. 89% say that they carry anxiety or worry that nobody knows about. 79% of the girls sometimes feel no good at all, personally. And 67% of them say that their school environment isn't a safe space or a welcoming space for everybody. And we're wondering, why is that? Tammy Darcy is the founder and CEO of the Shona Project. Tammy is with me on the line today. Were you surprised by the findings, first of all, Tammy?
Not at all, not even close. But look, this is our job, right? We've been working with girls across Ireland for 7 years now, and we've been really seeing these experiences. And that's why we did this research, because we want to actually capture it and give them an opportunity for their voices to be heard. So many of these girls shared actual accounts of their experiences, which are super sad, you know, to hear that so many girls are struggling in this way. So, you know, this is not news to us, but, you know, even for us, some of these stats, when we saw them, as plainly put it, that really struck us.
So this wasn't just a poll that people ticked optional boxes. I mean, this was a survey carried out where people actually had to explain and give rationale for some of their answers, Tammy.
Yeah, so the outcome are really, really good at research data collection. And what they didn't do was just ask girls, do you feel confident, yes or no? They asked them more complex questions, which helped us to find the actual truth of the matter. But towards the end of it, we also asked them to share their experiences with us across many, many topics. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of responses to that. Girls feeling that they just don't feel like they're enough. Girls feeling like they'll never be able to get to where they need to be. Girls feeling completely, you know, unheard, and girls really struggling to go to school every day because their experiences are so negative.
Do you know, the bit that probably struck me most or caught my eye this morning, Tammy, was the fact that 79% of girls say that they sometimes feel no good at all. You know, and just the whole conversation around self-worth and self-belief, like that's a huge proportion, 80%.
Yeah, no, that's really, really high, and it's hardly surprising. I mean, when you think about it, with social media, they're constantly being told you should buy this, you should have this, you should look like this, you should achieve this. And, you know, even with the education system, which is, you know, a meritocracy where it's like you need these points to get here and that this is where you sit on the hierarchy. It's constant pressure all of the time. And, you know, even people our age, Andrea, we still don't have it all figured out. But these girls who are 14, 15, 16 feel that they're supposed to have a plan, that they're supposed to have it all, you know, achieved, that they're supposed to have these things, have independence and live a certain life that they're not equipped to do. So it's no wonder that this is really impacting their sense of self and self-worth and value. And that's why we're here, right? And that's why the ecosystem that these girls and the communities around these girls really need to fight back now more than ever.
Yeah, it's a large disparity, isn't it? There's a big difference in being 12 and being 19. And I know that's the age demographic that was surveyed as part of this research. Like at 12, you're probably starting secondary school, Tammy. And then towards the latter end of that at 19, you're heading off to college mostly.
Yeah, like we work with secondary schools, so we've done direct work and workshops with girls the whole way from first year to sixth year. And in first year, right, there's a level of innocence, you know, they're just adjusting to a new school, they're making friends, they're trying to find themselves, they're optimistic about their future. And they also have, you know, this sense of confidence in first year that we start to see that shift from second year, third year, fourth year. And so many of them, by the time they get to sixth year, they just want to survive. You know, they don't want to draw attention to themselves. They don't want to speak up or speak out. They don't want to look differently than everybody else. They just want to conform and fit in, because their reaction that they get when they do try to stand out is not always positive, you know.
Aisha Hassan is an ambassador for the Shona Project. Aisha's with us here too on the line today. Why do you think so many people say that they're worried and anxious, Aisha, but that nobody knows about it, that they don't talk to their family or friends?
Well, I think that most of the time us girls, we feel like we're too scared to ask for support, just so that we're not seen as dramatic or attention seeking. I think that's what a lot of my peers and myself, what I felt. I felt that my anxiety or any of my mental health issues was a me problem and something that I had to deal with on my own. And, you know, sometimes the school system didn't really show us that there was support there for us, and that there was people there that could help us deal with it. So that's why a lot of us let all of our issues and our anxiety build up, and then it creates such huge statistics like this, for where all girls around the world, especially the statistic that 89% have worries and anxieties that no one knows about. I don't understand how we can have such huge numbers like that and not be doing things about it.
What should we be doing then?
Well, firstly, I think what the Shona Project is doing, where they come into schools and they create workshops, they create like a space of just honesty with the girls, where we all understand that we are all in the same boat, and that it's okay to struggle with something, but it's really important to talk about it. But the Shona Project can't do things alone at this point, where there needs to be legislative and governmental support for them. You know, it's time to change our curriculum in schools from sticking to the book rather than just sticking to the book, and really speaking to the girls and, you know, understanding what issues that they have right now, because it's not the same as what it was 10, 15 years ago. It changes every single year, or every day almost it changes. There's a new trend going on that the girls are trying to follow. There's so many things that girls are dealing with now that they may not have been dealing with a few years ago.
Yeah, look, there's no question about that. I mean, mobiles weren't even around when I was in secondary school, and that's not that terribly, terribly long ago either. Bebo was probably the only social media account, and that was when I was coming out of college, having finished 4 years. Rebecca's on the line in Galway. Rebecca, you too aren't long out of secondary schooler. Are you surprised by what you're hearing today?
No, I'm not surprised at all, to be honest. As someone who struggles with anxiety myself, I fully believe that the statistics are as high as you said. I definitely think that social media is a huge contributor to anxiety in young girls. I mean, just the comparison alone. I mean, in some senses, it's great that our social media feeds are, you know, so individual to us, but it also kind of then, you know, really goes in on your insecurities, and it can really almost be a constant source of comparison, constantly needing to improve things. You know, maybe there's areas of your life that you struggle with, and every time you open your phone, there's going to be a reminder that, you know, someone's doing it better, or someone has something new, or there's something going on. As far as school not feeling like a safe space or inclusive, that also doesn't surprise me. I mean, I went to I had your typical Irish school setup. I went to an all-girls secondary school, which was very focused on academics and sports. And if your interests didn't lie within, you know, the typical sports being played in the school, there was really no area for extracurricular activities, no ways to kind of, you know, build a relationship outside of school. I was lucky that I was interested in sports, but I had many friends that weren't. And I think that for people who have, you know, maybe slightly different interests that aren't, you know, GAA or hockey or whatever it is, there's no area for them to explore their hobbies or their interests. I think that alone just already creates this kind of not inclusive environment altogether, and then the added pressure of social media just being a constant area of comparison. I think that there's
That's what makes it so difficult. Alison Curtis, Today FM presenter, is with us here too, Rebecca, because your own daughter is, what, 14? She's
just on Sunday.
Just
May
on
the
Sunday.
Fourth
Very
be with
good.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she's right now in the middle of this survey sample we're talking about of 12 to 19 year olds. The idea that so many, that, you know, 79% say they don't feel any good, that 89% say they go around, that they carry this kind of anxiety and worry around them and don't talk to people. It's,
and I'm sure lots of like parents listening as well, is that you feel like, I feel like because I'm lucky that I have one, the focus is there. She might not feel that lucky, but I feel like I'm on top of it. And then every so often we'll have a horrible night where everything just comes out and she is built it in, like it's been built into her over a period of weeks or days. And then she's letting it all out. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't know, because everything seems fine. Like that duck gliding across the water underneath panicking, but just gliding on top. And it, things have massively changed. She started secondary this year, thankfully met an incredible amount of lovely people. But her awareness of herself and her appearance has changed quite a bit. And that is definitely down to social media. Most definitely it is, for sure. In fact, 70%, you know, saying it's negatively impacted them is super high. I actually thought it could be higher.
Yeah.
And like, we just think like, I mean, I'm older than you, Andrea, but we just think of the days of like, she got up early to do her eyelashes today, to put eyelashes on.
It's like school,
if I didn't have a mirror, I would go to secondary school and graduate and go, oh my God, my hair was brown that whole time. Like, I did not know. Like, we just didn't look at ourselves. We didn't have that reflection back in, and that comparative nature as well just wasn't there.
So, like, you know, it was interesting talking to Aisha about the changes and things we can make. And Aisha talked about sort of legislative changes and kind of creating that space, the likes of the Shona Project or maybe other community organisations that might be able to sort of have that, you know, give that opportunity for young teenagers to chat about these kind of issues. But from the parents' perspective, what's your thoughts on changing this?
Well, I mean, I do think that we think we're talking to them, but we also have to recognize that sometimes it's not actually us that they want to talk to. They you know, there's their peers. And if the peers are better equipped with ways of helping one another, I do actually think my daughter is very lucky in her social scenario that they're quite good. But the schools are so, there's so much going on now. And like they just said as well, like everything changes so quickly. There is a new word now that has come in, new to me, new to everyone that I'm aware of, that chopped means ugly now. And that's coming into lexicon. And like, we have to catch up with what that means and how to combat that and go, you're not that. And where did that come from? And where does it develop from? So schools themselves are constantly, I suppose, in many ways on the back foot to try and combat all of this. So that's why I think this study from the Shona Project is a brilliant thing to go into people's hands. The Shona Project, I've worked with Tammy Darcy. We have our own Go Loud podcast, the Shona Project podcast, where we did it last year from January to March. We're going to pick it up again. And we talked about all these sorts of issues. But like, it is, it's evolving. And that's what I think is the most tricky thing about it, for sure.
Do you think, Rebecca, is there still that stigma around talking about mental health and issues like this around anxiety and worry among teenagers when they're in school? Has that changed
100%.
At all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm 23 now. I'm almost finished university. And I would say that at the moment, like, the biggest issue that my friends are facing is we are just now learning how to talk about our feelings. Like, my friends are just now learning the importance and the benefits of being able to openly discuss our emotions. I mean, it took me years and years to admit that I have anxiety, that these feelings that I have on a regular basis, you know, physical symptoms like feeling nauseous every single morning, like, you know, just quite serious anxiety. And I didn't discuss it. I really thought, oh, you know, there's people with bigger problems. And it took me years to admit that that's not okay, and that I shouldn't have to deal with that on a daily basis. And since then, like, you know, it's very rare that, you know, you feel like you can comfortably talk about the fact that I see a counsellor on a regular basis, or, you know, some people talking about being, you know, maybe medicated for anxiety. And these are not open discourses. And I have amazing friends in university, but I definitely think that the number one issue that is felt, not just by young girls, I mean, boys as well, but specifically girls, is not being able to openly discuss their emotions, openly discuss their struggles.
Is that something, is that the responsibility, Aisha, of the secondary schools to encourage that?
100%. You know, we spend most of our time in secondary school or just in school in general. So I feel like that's where the responsibility should first be held. because that's where all your friends are. What your friends do, we mimic, you know. So I think the girls in that report are real, and they're sitting in our classrooms, they're walking in our corridors. You know, we need action rather than pity. We understand that the schools know that there's an issue, but it's about taking the action to be able to support the students so that when they get to, say, finishing up college, like Rebecca, they don't feel like that's when they're starting to understand what their feelings are, understand that they have something going on. Hopefully, in a few years' time, that we can say that in secondary schools when we dealt with our anxiety, or when we understood that we had it, so that we could go into a new, you know, new university with tools, learning of how to deal with it.
How equipped to deal with it personally. Do you think, is it encouraging parents, Alison, to, parents are encouraged, they're already having these conversations. Yeah. Is it the place of the teacher? I mean, who?
I think it's a multi, isn't it? So like everyone that's involved in a child's life, and it's sometimes really hard, and that's why some children obviously like fall through the cracks and things. But I do think schools need those kind of abilities to spot maybe a child that's maybe struggling, and what kind of avenues and resources, that's the thing, like resources being put into place to help people do that and create more roles for counsellors. And I do think hearing what the girls are saying as well, it's like, we think that, like, I mean, in Canada, I think we've been pretty good about mental health for a while in general, like, you know, and talking about things like that. But I think now there's still that thing where you're like, I don't want to be the one that brings everybody down. And that's the thing. So once you admit that you have a problem, or once that you bring it to the attention of your friends that maybe you're struggling, you're worrying a little bit that they're going to be like, I don't want that to be my identifier. And it shouldn't be, because it, you know, it can sustain itself in someone's life, anxiety, for a long time. I've had it my whole life. Or it could be something that's just circumstantial and will pass. But we should all be able to express that and not have any, you know, shame or worry about that.
Judgment far.
Yeah.
Just finally, tell me, what happens now? I mean, you've carried out this survey, you've got the results, we're talking about it here on Lunchtime Live today. Where do these findings go now?
I mean, it just helps us to establish a baseline, okay? We can see what the issue is now, and now we get to work. And as far as the Shona Project is concerned, we up the ante. We've reached 180,000 girls in the last 12 months, and we're going to go deeper and wider with that. And I think just going back to what Alison has said there, it's not about solving their problems for them. It's about creating a community, a safe space. We're not here to tell them what it means to be a woman. We're here to support them while they figure it out and embody it for themselves. And also to grow their confidence and their sense of self so that they do have the strength. Because vulnerability takes a huge amount of stress, even at our age. And just to build that strength so that they can speak out and support each other, really.
Yeah, founder and CEO of the Shona Project, Tommy Darcy. Aisha Hassan is an ambassador with them. Rebecca in Galway, and of course Today FM presenter Alison Curtis, thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live. Esther has got in touch to say, will you please advertise a free service that's been offered by the ISPCC? It's a mental health and wellbeing for teenagers programme, and another one for parents of teenagers as well. It's available free of charge apparently through the ISPCC. They last 10 to 12 weeks, and you'll be able to get guided mentoring available as well. You can check it all out through the ISPCC.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.